Item number 85, request of Bridget Blackburn to address council regarding the impact of crime and vandalism has on business, employees, and clients in the Central East Side neighborhood.
So, Carla, and I'll ask this of the presenters, as I look at this, are you all part of a group? Would you like to come up together, or would you like to come up individually? It's your call.
We can come up together.
Very good. Why don't you read all five, please, Carla?
86, request of Brent Perry to, on behalf of the Central East Side Industrial District, to address council regarding increase in crime and vandalism in the Buckman neighborhood. 87, request of Brooke Kabotic to address council regarding increase in crime in the Central East Side neighborhood. 88, request of Tamara Goldsmith to address council regarding help for businesses in the Central East Side neighborhood with vandalism, mental health resources, and homelessness. And 89, request of Emma Palat to address council regarding the impact rising crime and vandalism has on businesses, employees, clients, and community in the Central East Side.
Very good. And a reminder, name for the record, when the light comes on, the red light, your time is up. Thank you.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Bridget Blackburn. I'm the co-owner of Cargo. We're a 20-year-old independent business that relocated into the Central East Side about 3.5 years ago. When we moved into the group, into the neighborhood, we formed a small informal group of businesses with goals to promote our businesses and create community standards. 3 years later, we're now a part of the Merchants and Makers Committee, which is a part of the Central East Side Industrial Council. We work frequently with the city's crime prevention specialists and have formed a robust business watch program with numerous trainings led mostly by Mark Wells and Terry Papino. We hold regular quarterly district cleanups in the district. We partner with Solve, the City of Portland's Graffiti Abatement Task Force, and your Pick It Up Portland initiative. We have also started regular cleanups with Central City Concerns' Clean Start program. And we have funded, in part with grants through Venture Portland, both the first ever district-wide map and the new CEIC website. We have seen a spike in property damage, vandalism, deterrence to our customers coming to the area because of smash and grabs in cars. Rather than go through a list of all of those specific stories and hardships, I'd like to speak to a few possible challenges that I think we might be able to come up with a partnership to come to some solutions to. One is we need a much more efficient way to work across jurisdictions. We, for instance, when we have to clean up garbage or graffiti from our area, we have to identify ownership and get permission from all kinds of groups like ODOT, the Multnomah County, PBOT for parking meters, BES for bioswales, Union Pacific runs through our district, and then City of Portland and private landowners as well. We have a short list of requests that we would like to make from each of those departments that would result in much quicker response so that we could have higher cleaning response and that would eventually minimize the issues we're seeing on those streets. Our time is too valuable as volunteers to be caught in the red tape, and we know the mayor's office has seen some of these issues, especially in working with departments like ODOT. Finally, we also need to come up with a way to address the lack of public restrooms. During my time over the last 3 years leading cleanups with Solve, I've learned a lot about public safety and keeping our volunteers safe from the contamination of human waste. In the Central East Side, we're very connected to the river and its health. From 2nd Avenue down, the catchment flows right into the river. We need innovation around this problem, and one idea might be to get actual camp toilets, the same kind of thing that you're using when you're rafting on the rivers in Oregon, and have something like a waste collection site available for them. This solution, in my experience as a camper, costs $18, and I can go to a waste collection site. We'd like to start a discussion with you around solutions like this.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Not sure who would like to go next.
Me? Okay. Go ahead. Good morning. My name is Tamara Goldsmith.
I've been a business owner of a retail shop in the Central East Side for the past 12 years. In recent years, we've faced incredible new challenges. Break-ins are occurring much more frequently, vandalism is rampant, and shoplifting is now a regular occurrence. Drug paraphernalia, garbage, urine, and feces are something shop owners have to clean up on their doorsteps on a regular basis. We're in regular contact with people exhibiting belligerent and erratic behavior who appear to be either in opiate withdrawal or experiencing a mental health crisis. Not only am I concerned for the safety of myself and my staff, but also for my customers and our community at large. Historically, we've relied on the calling of 911 for help, but the response time is slow and reporting process is confusing and generally inadequate in addressing the roots of our bigger problems. About 2 years ago, frustrated by these circumstances, I started a closed Facebook group called PDX Theft Watch. As an online community of small business retailers and now 600 members strong, we provide a support network to one another while addressing security and safety concerns. We circulate immediate warnings, ideas, stories, surveillance photos, and descriptions of perpetrators to one another. We encourage others to file police reports, which helps build interconnected cases using shared information. The biggest issues we have are with known chronic thieves and people who repeatedly engage in violent behavior or enjoy creating a public nuisance. What I would ask from the city is for some sort of a similarly coordinated method of communicating the issues business owners have with an appointed liaison and local law enforcement. We need a single representative at the PPD who we can rely on to return our calls, help us build cases against known chronic shoplifters, and help us create a network of better communication about incidents involving repeat offenders. Having a single appointed official to connect with would eliminate the confusion we often have when trying to link multiple case numbers against a single chronic shoplifter. Our Facebook group has proven to be an incredible resource, but what it lacks is the experience, guidance, and database of the PPD. If we can utilize technology to communicate better through some sort of online system that effectively circulates safety and security information and provides a simple platform to connect the business community with law enforcement, I think that would give us all hope. A few more ideas that other Theft Watch group members have suggested online. Number one, public bathrooms in and around downtown in the Central East Side. Number two, more security foot patrols day and night in high traffic shopping areas. Three, more public campaigns and education about the availability of social services and programs like LEAD, Central City Concern, and Outside In. Four, funding and approval of new programs like Safer Spaces, which seeks to mitigate drug-related issues by providing a supervised facility for users to use in private, giving users access to immediate treatment options as a humane alternative to incarceration or overdose. Five, more direct access to addiction and mental health services, not restricted only to PPD referrals. Six, addressing the housing crisis with taxation of corporations and the wealthy to provide more emergency shelters, supportive transitional housing, and subsidized affordable housing. Seven, initiatives could be funded by increasing the property taxes on vacant commercial space. When a landlord leaves a building vacant, consider increasing their tax rate. I have one more.
Consider increasing
the punishments of repeat offenders, the frustration of being a victim of violent acts of aggression, theft, and vandalism, only to have assailants re-released the same day is unacceptable. Really appreciate your time and your service. Thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you. Do you want to go ahead?
Sure.
Hi, my name is Brooke Kabatik. Thank you for allowing me this time to speak. I manage the Logos building at 529 Southeast Grand. We're in the heart of the Central East Side. The Logos is a mixed-use building with three restaurants on the ground floor. My Father's Place restaurant, which has been there 40 years, Slow Bar 15 and Side Door 12. We're not new to the neighborhood. We're across the street from City Team Ministries, and we share a wall with the Columbia Shelter. City Team Ministries and our building have coexisted just fine for over 20 years. We've advocated for transition projects to remain in the Schleifer building as long as possible. With that said, over the last 2 years, and this last one in particular, we've experienced a level of increased crime that is tremendously affecting our businesses and the safety of our employees and our patrons. Over the last year, we've installed a door entry system at the Logos so that our main entrance is locked at all times. My Father's Place has hired night security. U.S. Bank has installed gates around their parking lots and has hired a full-time security guard inside their branch. The Shell gas station now has a night security patrol, and both the Barber Block and City Team Ministries have installed metal gates around their doors. All of this in the last year. Regular patrons of My Father's Place no longer come because they have been harassed time and time again and don't feel it safe. Employees of the restaurant have been threatened on numerous occasions, and one was assaulted bad enough that he was knocked out and taken to the ER where he was treated for a concussion and stitches. Windows smashed, graffiti, sidewalks defecated, urinated on, needles found, fires set on street corners, drug deal shootings, assaults. I mean, I could go on for hours about specific examples. Instead, I took photos to document the ongoing issues that we're dealing with around our building. please take the time to go through each one of these photos and the wording underneath it. It's really hard to capture these on photos. I'm only at our building a few hours a day, and most of that's in my office, so what you're seeing is just a tiny snapshot of what's happening all day, every day around our building. We are losing business because of crime. On numerous occasions, the police officers responding to our calls have told me that they normally work as specialty unit like drug enforcement, and this is not their area of expertise. We are asking you, the city, for a public safety action committee in the Central East Side. We really need this. We're asking you, the city, for a district officer that knows us, knows our community, and its challenges. We need this. We are asking the city to allow the police to enforce laws that are already set in place. For example, code 14A.50.010, no alcohol consumption on sidewalks, or 0.020, prohibits camping on public right-of-ways, or 0.030 and 035, leaving sidewalks clear for pedestrians and wheelchairs. I don't know why these aren't being enforced already. We've lost long-term staff, we've lost long-term customers, people that know the neighborhood but no longer feel it's safe. We need your help, and I invite you on the first sunny day of spring to come have lunch outside at Slow Bar to see why. I would also like to know who we can follow up with at the city regarding the Public Safety Action Committee and a district officer. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Brent Perry, president of Bremmick Construction. We moved into the Central East Side in 2010. I don't know that I could say it much better than what these three ladies have said, so I will just reiterate the same story. Central East Side is a very important part of the city of Portland. It is the next growth area. I think everybody sitting here would acknowledge that. Let's treat it that way. Let's start enforcing the basic laws to make it a safe place for people to want to come to work. That's all.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kate Merrill. I'm with the Central East Side Industrial Council, and Emma Paulette couldn't come because of a family emergency, so I'd like to request permission to...
I will allow it in this circumstance.
Thank you. I want to start off by saying that we really appreciate the guidance that the city has given us recently in the process of setting up an ESD, and also Venture Portland, who gave us a grant to pursue this endeavor. This is a major volunteer and staff effort with over 300 signatures for us to get. So this is, we hope to achieve this by the end of spring and be here to talk to you about that then. We would love to continue partnering with the city and finding solution to these livability issues. And I just have to say that ONI has been invaluable in this. The graffiti abatement, crime prevention have been there when we need them. And so I really want you to consider really supporting these programs and even expanding them and having a communications budget to let everybody in the city know about these resources. It's amazing. Also, we'd love to have community policing. We did have a CPAC committee, which I think was kind of what you talked about. I recently have been getting business owners in some problem areas together with police to talk about these issues, and it's very cathartic for the business owners, and it also helps them understand how to report things and what's going on with our police system. So I would like to really encourage more of that interaction with the police and business owners. I also, as we start an ESD, we don't want to be pushing this out into the neighborhoods, all the problems. And so we would love to work with you to find ways to empower other neighborhoods to be able to move ahead on these livability issues. And one great example was a grant that we were able to get.
Excuse me, this is a disruption in violation of council rules. I will remind you, if you disrupt the meeting, you will be asked to leave. Continue, please.
Yeah, so one great example was a grant that the city was able to give us to have Central City Concern come in with the Clean Start program in partnership with Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. That was a great pilot, and we've been able to expand it. So starting February 1st, we'll have Central City Concern going throughout the Central East Side, thanks to funds through our Transportation and Parking Advisory Committee, which is a great partnership with PBOT. So with that said, thank you so much for your support, and let's keep working together.
Very, very good. And does that cover all five of you?
Yes.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it, and I'm compelled to say something. and this is not a counter to what you were saying. I just feel compelled to say something on this subject because it weighs heavily on me, and it weighs heavily on this community. I just got back from the U.S. Conference of Mayors this past weekend, and I convened the West Coast mayors, and we added Alaska and Hawaii to the mix as well, because this is an issue that has filtered up not only as an important issue, it has become the issue. And I want to, first of all, just say the city of Portland is not the only city experiencing this issue. And while things are certainly dire here, and I do not want to in any way suggest that this is not a serious situation. It is a very serious situation. It's actually worse in other areas. But I want people to be aware of what is happening here. There are large trends that the city of Portland does not control at work here. The first is the economy. We are seeing a rapid concentration of wealth. That means people at the lower end of the economic spectrum are being the hardest hit. And at the exact same time, what's happening is the cost of housing is becoming increasingly affordable for lots of people. We have the ability to control that to a certain degree at the local level. That's what we're doing with the 2035 plan. I hope people will continue to support height and density in the central core so we can have workforce and lower income housing. The second trend is opioid and heroin addiction. And again, this is a national issue, and it is filtering down, and we are seeing it here at the local level. We have to go upstream to be able to effectively address these issues. Third and finally, you're seeing more mental health issues here. This nation has not been successful at addressing community-based mental health services. There are a lot of good providers here, but there is so much more that we can do. So I just want to continue to have people to focus upstream. Now, we have a responsibility here to do what we can do with the tools that we have at our disposal. And I want to assure you that my administration is working very, very hard on this. We have been addressing livability issues, so public health issues, environmental issues. I remind you that that is in violation of council rules. Please do not do that again. We have increased our police presence. We have increased park ranger presence. We've increased funding for trash collection, biohazard collection, and other issues. We have worked with private sector and nonprofit partners to help encourage volunteers to participate, both supporting the homeless population and addressing some of the livability issues that come with it. So what I'm asking us all to do is let's put our collective energy, no matter where we, excuse me, you are in violation of council rules and you have been asked. Excuse me for one moment. We're in recess. We'll be right back. We're in recess.
Okay.